Hi, I'm Dwayne Claude. I'm here tonight with The Other Side, and as we delve into the darkness of the realms tonight, I'm here with my co-host, Sarah Higgins.
Hello, Dwayne. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us here this evening on our premiere broadcast of The Other Side. And one of the major reasons that we've decided to do this show has been to get out the word about the paranormal and explore the different areas of what's out there. And tonight we have a very special guest with us. And tonight our guest is Joe Citrone. And Joe is from a very interesting group called Rydia. Welcome, Joe.
Hi,
Hello.
Joe. How are
you? How are you? It's so good to actually talk to you guys. And I got to tell you that it's a little bit unusual for me because I'm so used to interviewing people. I don't think I've ever really been interviewed. So this is my first major interview.
Well, I'm glad that's with us.
Excellent. And I'm happy to be part of it. And how is everybody doing tonight? Good?
Doing great. Thanks. How about you, Dwayne?
I'm doing great, too.
Awesome.
Now, Joe, you are a very interesting group. I think that the groups of your type are very far and few in between. And that's a group that deals a lot with demonic haunting.
Yes, absolutely. What happened was I had, you know, dove into the world of paranormal, you know, years back, and I've had some experience as far as investigations and doing, you know, we'll call it at the time, human hauntings, trying to get my feet wet to understand a little bit how the paranormal works. And then as time went on, I started to notice, you know, we were getting more and more calls and more conversations had come up that dealt with demonic. And at that point of time, I didn't know too much hands-on experience with the demonic other than what I've learned, you know, reading scripture and watching real-life stories. And then I started getting fascinated by it, and I started doing some research. And then I was, you know, initiated into my first demonic haunting when I realized that, hey, wait a minute, there's a whole side to the paranormal realm that people don't understand, or people maybe fail to understand a little bit, is demonic hauntings. And God, I believe, chose me to dive into the paranormal world on a demonic biblical level, which led me to actually forming a group called Rydia, which stands for Rhode Island Demonic Disturbance Investigative Association, and that started my quest.
Well, and I'm sure it's been a very interesting quest. How long have you been doing this, Joe?
I have been doing demonic investigating probably getting my hands dirty with the group that I'm with now for a little bit over a year. My experience with the demonic has probably 1998 is when I first started really getting into this. So I'm probably going on about 6-7 years of steady, you know, doing research, helping people, assisting people. I'm trying to do as much as I possibly can to help anybody who inquires about it or who are having problems with it. But my study into demons has probably gone since 1985 now.
Now, what about when you first got into the area of the demonic haunting? Actually, let me step back a little bit. When you got into the realm of the paranormal, was the demonic anything you even thought about existing within hauntings? Or was it something that just began to happen?
That's a really, really good question, an interesting question. It would probably take a long time to answer it if I went into full detail, but I will brief it as short as I can. What I did was, when I was about 5-6 years old, I had a paranormal experience, probably my first paranormal experience, where it was perhaps a bit Christmas Eve, where I was laying in bed, patiently waiting for Santa to come, because of course at that time I was all, you know, hyped up about Santa Claus and believed in Santa Claus. So something strange happened. I was laying in bed and I was laying sideways and I happened to look straight ahead. And it was black, you know, total dark. Lights were out, probably 3-4 in the morning. And I had seen an apparition At that point in time, I was really, really scared to look up at this apparition. I looked straight ahead, laying sideways, and I can see that the apparition was actually in a robe. And I remember praying, please, please, God, I go away. Let this thing go away. Let this thing go away. I closed my eyes tightly. I opened them back up. It was still there. I closed them tightly again. I opened them back up, and it was gone. At that point in time, I actually started to realize that I may have, in fact, either seen an apparition of a human spirit or maybe an angelic presence. From that point on, my quest started, and I was exposed to the occult at a really, really young age. I had some friends and people, friends that my parents knew, who were actually, she was actually a witch, and they practiced black magic. So me knowing about the dark side and believing that dark side was something that I always have, even when I was like 10, 11 years old. So my involvement with the demonic, with the dark side, probably stems from childhood, and I think it's never left me, although at times I've ignored it and didn't heed to my calling or what could be my potential calling in the future until probably I hit my early 20s. And then I was convinced at that point with the events that had taken place in my life, the supernatural things that were happening, that really was no explanation other than the fact that it was supernatural, whether it be of good or bad. And through some trial and error, through some tough trials and tribulations that I had, God was able to show me with my spiritual eyes that the demonic realm was real and did exist. And my calling at that point was to seek out and help as many people as I possibly could.
And, you know, I think that it's important to let people know that that's exactly what it is a calling. It's not necessarily something that you set out to do. It's definitely something that God lets you know that you're the person for. And unfortunately, a lot of people do start to dabble and get into situations where they're not in any way appropriate to handle.
Absolutely.
And how was your first encounter with a demonic entity on an investigation?
My first encounter with a demonic entity was a situation that my friend ended up calling me, and I was kind of giving him a little crash course of the Bible probably a couple of weeks earlier, and he was asking me about questions about the Bible and about the devil, if I believed in the devil. And, you know, of course, we went into a lengthy conversation for probably about 3 hours that night. About a week and a half, 2 weeks later, he called me up, and I remember him saying, "Joe, some weird things are starting to happen in my house. I have no explanation for it. I don't know what it is. Can you please come check it out?" So I had gone there with a friend of mine who we were kind of testing the waters together with this whole paranormal thing and being able to actually structure an investigation. I mean, we were still a little bit cold, still a little bit of wet behind the feet, but we decided to go, and I went there. And I remember that he had a staircase, so I had my friend investigate the bottom half, and I went upstairs by myself. And I remember praying and saying, "Okay, God, if you want me to do this, if this is what I'm going to do, please protect me at this point, because I really don't know what to expect." I remember going up there, and as I was walking up the stairs, I remember getting a very, very eerie chill, a very eerie feeling that was coming over me, a very weary feeling. I began to be a little lightheaded. The best way I can describe it is my equilibrium was actually like getting thrown off. As I started getting closer to the staircase, to the end of the staircase where the bedrooms were, I was actually seeing like this euphoric feeling. I remember glancing over to my left and actually seeing a shadow of a figure. I can notice the head, I can notice the hands, the body, And I'm looking, and as I keep staring at it longer and longer, the more it keeps manifesting into an actual figure. Now, little did I know at that point of time that it was a demon, and a lot of people talk about them as being shadow people. There is some discrepancy whether shadow people are demons or not. I personally have my own opinions on that, but the eeriness that I felt, the chills that I got, the uneasy feeling that I got, that I definitely feel that I encountered a demonic entity. At that point, I remember praying, and I remember commanding me to leave in the name of Jesus. I was scared, I was nervous, my palms were sweaty, but the only thing that I had at that point was my faith, and I asked God to remove this. I was not ready for it. And I have to say, probably within about 5-6 seconds after that, the figure had vanished.
How did that encounter help to further your expectations of the paranormal? I know that the first encounter that I had with such beings, it really made me start to question things. Made me start to believe that, you know, I was taught that these things couldn't happen, but they are happening. How did you justify that in your own mind?
Well, I'll tell you what. On a rational aspect, if I let my thought process take over and use my humanistic thinking or use my own instincts, I would probably have to say, one, that I thought I was seeing things. Number two, that maybe there was an explainable, you know, rational answer to what I was seeing. But I remember what happened that night. That night, I remember when I was lying in bed that night after we had done that investigation, I remember all thoughts going to my mind, and I said, God, if this is what you want me to do, and I truly have encountered a demon, I would like you to reveal that to me, however way possible. So maybe an hour, 2 hours later, I was tossing and turning in bed. I got up. I decided to open my Bible. And when sometimes you just grab your Bible, you'll just open it up to anything. I opened it up, and it happened to fall on Luke 10:19, which said, I had given you all authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. That was my confirmation that God wanted me to speak out, to tell people about these demonic entities, these demons, and to go ahead and make known to everybody who will listen how very, very crucial it is to know that a lot of things that happen to us in the natural realm and the things that take place, a lot of that is altered by what actually happens in the spirit realm prior. I think what happens that when we go through certain circumstances in our lives, I mean, I don't want to come out saying that everything is based on demons. I'm not saying that I'm a demon-centered Christian, but a lot of those things that happen take place first in the invisible realm, and then that's what alters what happens here in the natural realm as to produce the circumstances that take place in your life. I think beyond a shadow of a doubt here that these demonic forces, and more so now here in the world today, are more making themselves known. They're more profound. And I really, truly believe that at least from my standpoint, 50, 55, 60% all has to do with this invisible realm. And unfortunately, the things that we do as human beings, as people, whether it's good or bad, is going to alter that difference. And I think that's exactly what is happening now, is the demonic is exposing itself by the lifestyle that people are living today.
Mm-hmm. Now, as these hauntings become more and more prevalent, is there any kind of scientific proof that validates stuff like that?
Well, what can happen is, on a scientific level, yes. I mean, a lot of people will look at a certain situation and say, can we have a rational explanation? Is there anything that we can do that could actually prove that these demonic spirits exist. Well, yes. You're not going to see them a lot of times, maybe visually, with your naked eye, but you can use that same type of protocol that you would use when you're doing, say, just your average investigation on a house that, say, has paranormal activity that's not validated. You can pick them up on digital cameras. You can definitely pick them up on EVPs, because the EVP is like a big microphone to the spirit world. For some reason, that the electronic voice phenomenon, as you know, going through investigations, spirits leave an imprint of their voice on these EVPs. Well, demons use the same. You can pick up demons like you could pick up, say, a human haunting, or what you perceive to be a human haunting. You can pick them up on there. So EVPs in digital cameras still work with the demonic. The only difference is, from what my gathering is, when you actually take a picture and say you did capture a demonic entity, a lot of times that I've noticed that they almost appear as disembodied spirits. You will see shoulders, you may see a body, but there may be a leg that's missing, or an arm that's missing, or a hand. They never actually come out totally profound. So that has been the key code that I've used to distinguish a demonic entity by the structure of the picture, if the shadow was dark, and if it had a form of a person or a form of a being, but not totally captured, as some people will capture, say, an apparition that's a full-fledged figured apparition.
So in other words, you're looking for some sort of discrepancy in the figure. Like you said, a missing arm or something that just doesn't look right.
Absolutely. I'm looking for things that are not unusual that you would pick up, say, with a camera. And a lot of the times, like I said, for me, and I know, you know, a lot of other investigators also have said the same thing, so I know we're all on the same page to a certain extent in our beliefs and theories, but yes, I am looking for disfiguration and disembodied spirits that is going to signal me. That's on a scientific level. Now, the other half of that picture, or analyzing that picture, is now you're going to have to use your spiritual eyes. You're going to have to use half scientific and half spiritual, and in the spiritual sense, you're actually going to use your discernment. You're going to actually, at least what I do, is I pray that God gives me the spiritual eyes and the discernment to detect evil. And that's basically how I base my principles and fundamentals in investigating photos and images that what I would think would be demonic. Those are the two things that I would look for, but scientific and spiritual, to me, go hand in hand. You can have all your scientific equipment, and you can use all that stuff, and that's great. I definitely endorse that for the mere fact of producing evidence to people that don't believe, but I also think there has to be a balance in the spirit on a spiritual sense, and the two don't actually work opposite of each other, but they actually work together.
Now, I know that we have some EVPs that we've pulled from your website. Let's take a listen to one of them first.
Okay.
And in a few minutes, we'll go to break and give callers a chance to call in, ask some questions. And the number for that is 877-876-5227. And in Canada, 888-810-8322. Now, Joe, this first one is going to be one that you had recorded during a prayer or a Bible meeting.
Okay.
And from what I understand, from what I've heard and what I've read on the description, it's basically trying to quiet you down from the prayer. This EVP is entitled Shut Up.
Okay, I know that one well.
Now, Joe, can you tell me a little bit about what happened during that?
Well, what happened was I ended up going over a friend's house where we had, he has a weekly prayer meeting. I wasn't able to attend Bible studies as much as I wanted to, so I remember him saying at this particular time, I want you to come over. We'll have prayer study together. I'm like, okay, excellent. That sounds like a good idea. I can use it. In the midst of that, there was a woman that showed up that belongs to the prayer meeting. I have never met her before, but immediately there was something about her that just kind of rubbed me the wrong way, and I don't really want to say that the person was actually, in essence, a bad person, but there was something that I was discerning about her. I remember then that everybody was in prayer, and some people were praying in the spirit, which were praying in tongues, and I remember that this girl, all of a sudden during the prayer, started laughing. Out of nowhere, she was just laughing when she was praying. And when people spiritually laugh, or when they're in prayer, at least from what I've known, it's always a very happy feeling. You can feel the presence of God. But this particular one, it wasn't like that. But I didn't say anything. Then she started getting louder and louder. And eventually, as we were all praying, all of a sudden, I heard the words, "Oh, shut up." Now, I know that when people do speak in tongues, and there are some that endorse tongues and some that doesn't, but when people genuinely speak in tongues, it's usually a peace that settles in. Well, she said, "Oh, shut up," a few times, and then I was starting to realize that I believe there was a demonic manifestation that was actually taking place within her. I remember praying and casting it out in the name of Jesus, and then she stopped doing that. Later, after that prayer meeting, when all was said and done, my friend who runs the prayer meeting says, "You know, Joe, I felt a very uneasy feeling. We both were in agreement of the same thing." And then she told me that this woman has been struggling going to prayer meeting, and she's been oppressed. After that incident, she ended up praying. We ended up praying, and then she got spiritually sick, and she started to vomit. And then she was fine after that.
So, Joe, would you consider this a partial possession, or to some degree?
I would probably say it would be a partial possession, because only for the mere fact that there was no manifestation that actually took place where you would have your signs of say that authentic possession, where, you know, there were seizures taking place, she was speaking in unknown tongues. I believe that whatever spirit was in her, whatever demonic spirit was around her, oppressing her, wasn't fully in her yet, but had a big influence in her life. And I would probably say maybe in a week or two after that, maybe even less than that, she would be at full possession. So, yeah, I would say partial possession prior to that prayer meeting.
Now, the instances of full possession, how common are they?
Full possession, I have to say that the cases that I've worked on or been a part of that had anything to do possession were far and few. There are a lot of signs of possession. There is a lot of signs that you could look for, but does not necessarily mean that the person is possessed. I think that a full, authentic, or should we say a full-blown possession happens more than we think that they do. I think there's a lot of cover-ups that go on within the church world. I think there is a lot more that are behind the scenes that it's almost like they're not exposing it to us. And I think the demonic is capitalizing on that, because the more that a demonic entity or the demonic realm could prove some of these possessions of actually being fake, it's really a smokescreen of what actually is going on. And I think that there's a lot more possession going on than people realize.
So, Joe, when you would consider someone going through a possession type of situation, what kind of signs do you look for?
Well, I would look for signs that I would look on your physical aspect. The features of a person will change. They will have a very, very oppressive look on their face, a very withdrawn look, a very pale look. They will get sick. It's not something that happens all the time, but they will get sick. But one of the key things two key things, actually. One is how they react to the name of Jesus when you talk. If you were going to follow a biblical text or if you were a Bible believer, you would know that there are certain signs. And one thing a demon can't really do is confess that Jesus is Lord. Though they know that he is, they can't really confess that and say that word or even be in the same room with somebody who was proclaiming Jesus Christ. That's one sign, how they act to Jesus, to God, to anything on a Christian perspective. That's number one. And number two, an incredible sign or a change in strength. The physical strength changes dramatically. I mean, obviously there are oppressed people that swear a lot. I mean, those type of things go hand in hand with possession, but you've got people who have certain psychological problems that may not be demonic related at all. So I kind of rule out the swearing and the little things that really aren't so important to me. The two most important things is the change of strength, especially if you're looking at a 90, 100-pound person or a kid or a female who can just all of a sudden be able to use extraordinary amount of strength, able to move objects is definitely another sign, and how they react to the name of Jesus. So I guess we'll go with three signs because there are situations where they actually can move objects telepathically using telekinesis. That is another sign of a demonic possession.
It's funny how things always seem to happen in threes when it comes to the demonic.
Absolutely. And you know, I was thinking about that just before you said that. I'm like, hey, see, I just answered the question. It's always in threes, and it is. It's absolutely always in threes.
Well, we're going to take a short break here. Everyone is listening now to The Other Side. I'm Duane Claude with Sarah Higgins. We're here tonight talking with Joe Citrone from Rydia. And as we go into break here, I'd like to play an EVP for people to ponder on over break. And this one's entitled Growl. And it's actually part of an investigation that Joe was conducting. So let's go ahead and play that EVP, and we'll talk to some callers, hopefully on the other side of break. You're listening to The Other Side. Now, anyone has questions for Joe, Sarah, or myself, I'd like to encourage you to call in at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Or from Canada at 888-810-8322. Now, Joe, we just played a very interesting EVP.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit, the first time I heard it, it was a little bit disturbing. Can you tell us a little bit about what was going on during that case?
Yes, absolutely. We were doing a case that was in Massachusetts. At that point in time, we didn't really know how to take, you know, what was going on, what was actually, if it was authentic. I believe that the person was genuine about what they were saying that was going on in their house. We went up there, we conducted an investigation, we did some EVPs, and we decided, of course, at the end of the night to do a blessing. We went into the basement of the house doing the blessing, and I remember my partner, Michael, saying, I command you in the name of Jesus to leave this house. You know you have to obey our command. We did everything that we needed to do. And after that, there was a big lift. You can feel a big lift. There wasn't that heaviness. And I always say heaviness because every time the demonic is involved, there is a heaviness that settles in the house, in the smell, everything. It's very, very clammy. And me, my sign, my little, how I would look as my EMF detector, always seems to trigger off with me getting lightheaded. That's a sign how I know immediately when I go in the house if there's any type of demonic activity going on. That next night, that next day, should I say, because we ended up getting home late, that next day I'm going through the tape recorders. I'm listening to everything, and I remember that I played a whole 90 minutes, then we went into an hour, and I keep listening, and there's nothing going on. All of a sudden, we come to this part, and I hear this growl, and I had my headphones on, and I was like, I was taken so back, I was like, what was that? So I stopped it, rewinded it, played it again, and sure enough, it was a growl. It was a demonic growl, one of the most profound growls that I've ever heard in my life doing investigations or dealing with the demonic. It was so clear that everybody that I played that for still can't believe that that actually came out of a house. And I've used that as an incredible witnessing tool, and that was my first major demonic growl, and I just believe that, once again, my calling, or the calling that we do, and you do, Dwayne, sometimes has significant marks that take place when you know you're on the right track, when the evidence that you produce is genuine, and no matter what, who you let listen to it, they can't deny the fact that something has happened that is unexplained. And that is really how I work. My belief system is when I know we're on the right track as investigators, sometimes God, I believe, will permit us to capture that perfect EVP that we can actually take with us, use that as a witnessing tool, use that to explain, to exploit the demonic. And I think that that was kind of initiation into what Michael and I was doing, because that happened to be the actual first real clear demonic EVP that we have gotten as a team with Michael and I with Rydia.
Now, did anything significant happen at that time while you were physically there?
When we were physically there, and that's the tricky part, when we were there, we first started upstairs, and we worked our way downstairs. Upstairs, we noticed on our digital thermometers that there was a temperature change. There was temperature was dropping, and when we began our prayer session, it would drop excessively. I mean, within like seconds, it would drop 10, 12, 13 degrees. And aside for that, no, there wasn't much that was actually taking place. A couple of orbs we captured in the pictures, but if we never got that EVP, the only thing that I could have said was, based upon how I felt, that I would have believed that that was actually a house that could have been demonically haunted. But other than that fluctuation on the temperature gauge, no, there was nothing that really happened while we were there. It mostly happens on the evidence that we got with that one growl that was produced.
Now, how do you come back to other investigators who, you know, have been doing this for years, and they've really kind of taken a scientific approach to things, and, you know, their mentality is that, you know, it's okay that when people die, their spirits remain, and that's what ghosts are. You know, above and beyond that, they really don't, I don't want to say buy into the fact, but believe in the fact that, you know, both the angels and the demonic exist.
Well, I'll tell you what, that is the million-dollar question, because to be able to talk to other investigators and people with certain theories and beliefs that you have, especially when you're dealing with human spirits and demonic entities and who believes what, it's very, very hard to have people convinced that the demonic realm exists. A lot of people will perceive that demonic spirits don't exist, and the fact that they're just a human haunting of maybe a violent and aggressive spirit. A lot of times people will say that, you know, you're using the Bible and you're using these beliefs and these fundamentals and these principles. I don't buy into that. I'm in so much more of the scientific level. So it's very, very hard to, that fine line to actually give your opinion without sounding maybe biased or without sounding like, you know, you're a little bit off the wall. Oh, he's one of those religious freaks and he's trying to incorporate that with the paranormal. It is so tough to talk to people about that. So what I like to do is I like to keep more focused and I'd like to present them a different approach where I'm not going Bible on them, and I'm not trying to force things on them, but I'm trying to put it in a different perspective. That's why I say it's very important to realize that Christianity, and we'll call it, we'll call it just what it is, Christianity and scientific are not really that far apart from one another, and they can coexist together. But if you were to go in on a scientific level without even the mere thought of a demonic haunting that could take place, or you don't believe in demons and you just want approach to get your evidence on a scientific level, I personally believe, and this is my opinion, that you're definitely going on dangerous ground. I think everybody needs to have balance and always have their spiritual eyes and ears open, as well as their carnal self, human eyes and ears, you know what, their natural senses, but use your spiritual senses to be able to balance both if you want to be a successful investigator.
You know, that brings up a real interesting question, too, and an interesting spin on things. I know that as our group has gone out and Western New York Paranormal has done investigations across New York State, that we've always kind of battled with the perspective of, do we go in to get the evidence, or are we going in for different moralistic reasons?
Oh.
And I guess that's one of my questions to you is, how does RIDIA work? Are they interested in gathering the scientific data, or are they more interested in the person behind the haunting? Or, you know, what about the souls that may be haunting a home that are not demonic in nature? How are those things approached?
Okay. Well, I can answer you on this one from RIDIA's perspective, because we all feel this way. We would love, every time, to be able to capture something on video or on tape, I mean, you know, with our EVPs. I mean, of course, we would love to capture that perfect picture that we can use for incredible, you know, incredible evidence and all that good stuff with it. But one thing that we all have come into agreement with, the most important thing, at least with RIDIA, and I'm sure there's a lot of groups that feel the same way, is to go into a house and to help a family or a person who is being oppressed, who is being demonically attacked, who are experiencing things that are far beyond their minds can comprehend, to be able to go in that house and help that family, and that family to be clear of any type of paranormal, demonic activity, and to turn around and say, you know what? Thank you very much for taking your time for helping us. That is the most important thing. If I never got evidence again for the rest of my life doing what I'm doing right now, and I know that that person spiritually is grounded and they're not having any problems, and I can help them in any way, that is the most important thing to me.
No, I agree with you, Joe. There is absolutely no greater feeling than being able to make a difference with somebody.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm sure you've run across this also. What happens when you go into an investigation and, you know, the person may think that it's just a normal spiritual haunting, and it turns out to be something much darker, and it's not really something they want to hear?
Well, that's funny that you say that, too, because I have a type of situation that has come up in the recent, you know, the past few days. I had met somebody who claims that their house is haunted. The person has actually gone through all the questions that I've asked and answered them legitimately, and I could probably say, just in conversation and talking to this person, that genuinely this house is having some sort of paranormal activity, from toys actually moving in the middle of the night, to footsteps going across the hallway when everybody's sleeping, to catching objects on the corner of their eye of what they would think would be two little boys that were actually running around the house. So based on that information, I came to realize that, yes, there is paranormal activity. Okay, I said to her, well, why don't we set up an investigation in time? We'll get together, we'll talk, we'll take some pictures, maybe run some video, do a little EVP session, won't do anything, you know, too out there, but let's try to get some validation for you. And you know what the person commented back to me? They says that this has been going on with them for about 5, 6, 7 years now, and they have these entities have never bothered them, and they don't mind them being there. And then, in the same breath, the person said, but I'm afraid that if you try to do something to aggravate them or get rid of them, that they're going to turn bad. So it is so hard to talk to a person that don't even believe the fact that it could be anything demonic. A lot of people think that these spirits and a lot of these spirits are roaming around out there and just hanging out and having a good time. And as long as they keep their space and you keep your space, they're fine. As long as you guys don't cross each other. But little do they know that in the end, what is going to happen is not going to be the same result as maybe they're experiencing now. That eventually it changes. And that's the hardest part, is the convincing people that only believe in human hauntings as mere, if you leave them alone, they'll leave you alone. They were here a lot longer than me, so everything is fine. Just leave it alone. And it's really, really hard. And we've been rejected in cases where the person has said, listen, I don't want to do anything with them. Don't get rid of them. Don't do nothing. I've tried to take every approach, the most cunning approach that I possibly could take, to not sound like I'm going religious on them and going God on them, because a lot of people do get offended when you start talking about that stuff, like, you know, how dare you say that my house has a demon in it? So that is hard. The only advice that I could say, and the only thing that we've done, is we've tried to be humble, and we've tried to use the best approach to incorporate anything that we feel that could be demonic going in the house, and making the people be able to relate to what we're saying on more on a scientific, rational aspect, and bring light that way that it could be a demonic haunting, instead of whipping out Bible verses, because that's the last thing that people want to hear.
Now, I know an interesting thing that I've observed here in our neck of the woods is that there has been a real growing interest in other religious beliefs. I know that in this area alone, we're seeing a lot more people turn to the Wiccan or pagan religions.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, my personal opinion is it's not a bad thing if it's used properly, because even Christianity has its roots in paganism.
Right.
But how does that affect how you conduct an investigation? Because even though that the roots may be the same, the beliefs are very different at times.
That's interesting. I have a friend who is Wiccan, and their philosophies and their beliefs, even though Wiccan is an entirely different practice than, say, you know, the way a Christian would handle or believe certain things, or a born-again Christian or a Catholic, or, you know, where that fine line is between the two different beliefs. But this person believed a lot of the stuff that the Bible said, and a lot of the stuff that I was saying, but they also believed in what they believed in.
Mm-hmm.
And they added to a lot of the stuff by believing other gods, by believing other, you know, reincarnation and going into all this other stuff and Gnosticism, but still saying, yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I believe he existed. Yes, I believe a lot of what the Bible has said, but the Bible hasn't said everything that's happened. And what I think a lot of these other belief systems do is they try to fill in the gaps or the missing pieces with what their interpretation and beliefs are, and add to, say, Scripture. And that's a very, very, very tough question and tough to deal with people who have different beliefs. I personally know a lot of people who have practiced Wiccan, I believe it is. They're all very, very nice people. And when we're talking about religion or God, that's something that we don't see eye to eye on things, so we just don't talk about it. but it is tough to say, verify, and validate a house that could be haunted by a demonic spirit to somebody who is of a different belief system. Because no matter what, there's going to be that confrontation that takes place where religion and science are separate. And I've had people even turn around and say, look, I think what you're doing is great. I'm glad that you came to the house, but my religion tells me differently, and I believe differently, and I think that, you know, we're all set. So that's been tough a few times that that's have happened to us.
But that brings up an interesting question. I mean, in the paranormal world, let's suppose that entities do exist that are demonic in nature. Does that mean that, according to Wicca, that the demonic do not exist, or are they just an entity with a different name?
I'm going to have to say that there was a time where I believed that they believed that demons may have not existed. But I'm starting to believe now that they have a different name for them, but it does mean the same thing, because the person that practiced Wiccan did believe in fallen angels, you know, and they actually, I remember them even reading, say, the Book of Enoch. So they were definitely susceptible to receiving the whole fact that it is demonic, but they titled it with a different name because that's what they believed in that it to be. A lot of them would say, and I don't know too much about Wiccan, so I wouldn't want to step out of bounds by saying things that I don't know. But a lot of them would I remember she would use the word like energy vampires.
Mm-hmm.
And these type of spirits that suck the life out of you, but still referring to them being that demonic type of figure, but just not saying the biblical term devil.
Interesting. Now, we actually have one more EVP that we want to play tonight before we leave.
Okay.
And this is a real short one, real simple one, and it says pig. And after we play it, we're going to get a little story behind that. So let's go ahead and play that. What does that mean? Was there a meaning behind that?
Well, when we've done that investigation, it was actually, when we got that was actually a return investigation. We were actually doing the blessing of a very good friend of mine, one of my best friends, who was actually believing that there was something going on. So we investigated it, and we got a few different EVPs. But at that particular time, in during the blessing, we were using some scripture, and we were really, really all actually in the spirit where we were going in as like a strike force. We know something's here. This is how we're going to handle it. And as we were doing our blessing, when we recorded the EVP session, when we recorded the blessing, should I say, as we were praying, this spirit was calling out to us different names. And one of them happened to be Pig. And they were just, it was almost like they were very upset for what we were doing. They didn't like what we were doing. And they were just calling us on in the spirit realm as we were going through scripture. And the more scripture we went through, the more they got aggravated. And then they started using words like pig. And I remember, I think we had gotten 8 or 9 different EVPs just out of that last 10 minutes of that blessing that we were using, reading scripture. So when a demon is mad, and when you're being effective in the spirit world, you will get things like get out, pig, growl. They will change their whole attitude and start saying, you know, grotesque things. Die, you get that a lot. But we got centered with pig. We got pig, die, I'll kill you.
I know that a lot of the EVPs that I've picked up on demonic haunts, I really can't even play because they become so foul at times.
Right, exactly.
And And Sarah has the unique ability of clairaudience. So unfortunately, she has the opportunity to hear a lot of those things at times.
Huh.
And it makes for a very interesting situation. Now, what kind of advice can you give people that feel that there may be something going on in their homes that may not quite be right?
I could give a couple of things of advice. I would say that when you start experiencing some sort of paranormal activity, to actually, first of all, validate in your own mind what is actually happening, how long it's actually happening, if it's repetitive, if it seems to be gradually getting worse and worse as time goes on, make a monitor of it. Write some things down, some things that stick in your mind. At that point in time, yes, I would definitely say get advice, get help, seek paranormal, a reliable paranormal team. But there's things that you can do at your house too when you're waiting for them to come and until they come and validate it. I definitely say that you can definitely pray. I always say the power of prayer is very, very important to pray, to ask God for help, to not so much communicate with what's there, but kind of making direct statements that this is your house and you're not going to be intimidated or frightened or be provoked to leave your own house because you're being invaded by something that's unseen that may not want you to be there. So the protocol that I always say to people, monitor it, write some things down, get inquisitive about it, find a reliable paranormal, and use prayer.
And it sounds like we have a caller online.
Okay.
Go ahead and take a quick call.
Okay.
Caller, you're on the air. Please speak up or we'll have to drop you.
Hi, I'm trying to find out what kind of advice you might have for those of us that are sensitive, what we should watch out for demonic.
I can't hear the call.
I couldn't really understand the question.
Yes, I'm calling to find out what advice you might have for a sensitive on an investigation.
I think the question was, what would it be like for a sensitive on an investigation or a psychic?
What would it be like for a sensitive to encounter a demonic haunting?
Yes.
Like I was saying earlier, a lot of times when we're tapped into the spirit realm, and a lot of times I'd like to use, say, God as my sensitive, or say, the Holy Spirit is my EMF detector. I think in a sensitive point of view, as a sensitive going to a house that has a demonic haunting, I think that same type of structure is going to follow. Being a sensitive to the spirit realm, you are going to pick up things. And I think that if you pick up or detect that anything that's going on that touches your spirit wrong, uneasy feeling, chills in the back of your neck, or whatever certain signs that are your triggers that show you that there's something that's not right in there or something negative, at that point in time, I would use that gift or your sensitivity to it, and I would pray. I would definitely pray immediately when you find it. And if you're a person that, say, doesn't believe in too much on a godly level or have different belief systems, it's always good to have somebody with you in your investigation with a Christian that maybe you could have that Christian pray. But I think that a sensitive to go in a house and feel a demonic presence is probably one up on the game. And I would definitely seek help, whoever is in there, to actually do something if you yourself do not want to pray.
All right. Well, Joe, we've seemed to run out of time here this evening. I'd like to thank Joe Citrone from Rydia joining us here on The Other Side. And if anybody has any questions for Joe, I'd like to encourage them to visit his website at invisible-wars.com. com.
Excellent.
Join us next week when Richard Kimmel will be on the air with us from the World War II Paranormal Organization.
Okay, it was my pleasure, Dwayne. And Sarah, too?
Thank you very much, Joe.
Thank you very much, and I hope to be talking to you guys shortly. Keep up the good work, and God bless you.
God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye.